We're continuing on, of course, in the ark. We're looking, and we've reached the point where we've become beyond the veil of the ark. And we're looking at Exodus 25, verses 10 and 11 this evening. It says, "They shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be its length, 1 cubit and a half its breadth, and 1 cubit and a half its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold, inside and outside shall you overlay it, and you shall make it on a molding of gold." Now, we're ready to go inside into the veil, inside the veil into the Holy of Holies here. And but wait here. The Bible indicates that no one can go inside the veil except for the high priest, and only he could do it on one day of the year. And so we have to be careful here. We want to fast forward here for a moment to the cross. Jesus said with the final saying on the cross when he's crying with a loud voice, he said, "It is finished." And it says he yielded up his spirit, and that moment he died. And there are several monumental things that happened simultaneously there. First, it tells us that there was this great earthquake. The rocks just break. And of course, everyone who was afraid just because of the earthquake. It also tells us that many graves of the saints were opened, and they went into Jerusalem. And then the third thing that it tells us happened at that moment is that the veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. Historians tell us that this veil, as it was in the temple, was 4 inches thick. And it was much taller and heavier than the one that was in the tabernacle. Man could not have torn it. It was the hand of God that did that. Because we see again, it was torn from the top to the bottom. But now we are coming into the Holy of Holies, and you see in this particular illustration, the yellow that encompasses the tabernacle territory. But now we've walked inside, we stopped at the table of showbread, we looked at the golden candlestick. Last week was at the altar of incense. Right now we're beginning to step back behind the veil, into the Holy of Holies, to the Ark of the Covenant as is there. The Holy of Holies is a perfect cube. It's 15 by 15 by 15. As we approach and go into the Holy of Holies, we remember the titles and the expressions that are given to God. For instance, in Isaiah 6, 1 through 3, it says, "I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So we go from Isaiah and we go to the last book of the Bible. We get a picture of something that is transpiring here in Revelation. Chapter 4, verses 2 through 8, it says, Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders, sitting clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were 4 beasts, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of their 6 wings about them. And they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. We serve a holy God who loves sinners, but he hates sin. We are now in the midst here of this holy place, where we can see this Ark of the Covenant. this holy ark, this ark of God, or the ark of testimony, as it is described in different places throughout the scripture. In fact, the description that is given to us does not give us complete information. We don't know exactly what it would look like, but it would resemble a cedar chest, except covered with pure gold. We have something in our minds, of course, as we have all looked at the movie of Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Last Ark, and it's not too far off. You know, it was 4 foot long by 2 foot high. The lid was a solid slab of gold. The value of the mercy seat would be astronomical. And out of this same piece of gold were the cherubim that stood on the top lid. And a crown of gold is around the top, and reminding us that we are approaching unto the King of the universe. Gold rings on each corner through which the golden stage ran then for transporting. And so we see each artist as he depicts their feeling of what this Ark of the Covenant looked like. But as we come to the Ark of the Covenant, there are several things that we want to look at this evening for a few moments. The first is that we want to look here to the person of the Ark. You know, when we look at the Ark itself, we see the person of Jesus Christ. Later we'll look at the mercy seat, and we'll see the work of Jesus Christ. As we have looked and examined, as we've walked through this tabernacle, we see that it is one testimony after another about Jesus Christ. That Israel in the wilderness, and Israel when they became a nation, was continually worshiping Jesus Christ, and that is what becomes such a surprising event then. When Jesus is born, He appears on the scene. He does His ministry, and He is rejected. Here is the Messiah that God had been preparing them for all through these years. And when He came, of course, they rejected Him. And by the way, there are three different arcs in the Bible. There, of course, is Noah's Ark. There is a Moses' Ark and this one. And each one represented safety for God's people. You know, the first two were made with pitch, which represented blood, and this third one has the blood that is applied to it, of course, for our safety. So we must examine His person first, for that is what gave His work such value. You know, not anyone could have died for our sin. But it had to be a man made under the law and who was perfect without sin. So we examine His person, and then we look at His work. You know, like John the Baptist, when he looked up and he saw Jesus coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And His person and His work here. John the Revelator said, when he saw the Lamb, he said, "Slain from the foundation of the world." Paul said, "I am determined not to know anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And so this is the person of the Ark. There is, of course, the position of the Ark. You'll have to hand change. The position of the Ark, it was always first and always foremost. As we studied in the tabernacle, we have gone in reverse order of how it was revealed in Scripture. We started outside the gate, and we looked at the altar, we looked at the laver, we looked at the holy place, and now we've come to the Holy of Holies. And that's how it is accurately approached, and that's how it is viewed from man's perspective. But it's not revealed that way from Scripture. It is given to us from God's perspective in Scripture. And so the Ark is mentioned first. The Ark went first when they when they journeyed. Those aboard stepped in the Jordan, of course, and the waters parted. But when they marched around Jericho, the Ark went first, and then the people. And then, of course, later the walls fell flat. The one time they presumed to go to war without the Ark, they were utterly defeated. You can read that in Numbers 14. And why? Is because they were not putting God first. You see, in every Christian, God is present, or He takes up residence in your heart. Now, and in some Christians, God is prominent. He's very important. What God wants to be is preeminent. He wants to be number one in your life, coming before everything. We've seen the person of the ark, the position of the ark, and now the provision in the ark. You know, we remove the lid and we find in here three things. The first is the Ten Commandments, or the tablets in the ark. And it reminds us that Jesus has provided for our failures. You see, we've all sinned and we've all come short. Sin is falling short. One man trying to express it in a prayer one time says, "God, forgive us our falling short." That isn't exactly it, but we have all sinned and we have come short. We are all guilty of breaking the commandment. But Jesus provided for our failures by doing what we could not do. He kept the law to perfection. And this qualified Him to die for our sins. He paid for our sins that He never committed. And so we have the tablet of stone inside the ark. There is also a pot of manna inside the ark. That reminds us that Jesus has provided our food, our spiritual food. You know, manna was small. It reminds us of Jesus' humility. But it was white, which reminds us of His purity. And it came at night. It came as Jesus came into a dark world to bring light. That was a subject, of course, a couple of weeks ago when we discussed it. But it came as a free gift of God, not based on their works, not based on their worthiness. It came, you know, whether they obeyed or whether they rebelled. You know, if your spirit is hungry, let me recommend a good place to eat. You know, go to Jesus and you will be completely satisfied. And then there was, of course, the rod of Aaron. And here that budded, it reminds us that Jesus provided for our future. Now, Aaron's authority as high priest was questioned. And so God instructed Israel to take a dead stick from all the 12 tribes of Israel and to put the name of the head of each tribe on the stick. And God said, "Bring them to the tabernacle. And by this, I'll show you something." In the morning, 11 of the rods were just as dead as they were the night before when they bound them together. But one rod was not only budded and blossomed, but it had the fruit of almonds upon it. And that was Aaron's rod. This, of course, is a symbol of the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus was the first fruit of those who have been resurrected. Because He rose someday, we will as well. You know, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You know, every box, of course, needs a lid. But this is no ordinary box, and I assure you the mercy seat is no ordinary lid. And the next time that we come in 2 weeks, when we will be back to discuss this, we'll discuss the lid itself, the mercy seat itself, and what it means. For now, the question is Jesus first in your life? Is He preeminent in your life? Now, He has provided for your failures. Have you admitted to yourself that you indeed are a sinner before God? He wants to provide for your present. He wants to give you a spiritual abundance right now. And He has already provided for your future if you trust Him now for salvation. God has provided for us through all these symbols, these continual promises. And He wants us to rest in the knowledge of those promises to carry us through the difficulties that we personally have and the difficulties that are going to happen upon this earth. We must be anchored. We hope to stand it all.